Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, testing the claims of church growth. You can find information about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section, or you can call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is testing the claims of church growth. 1-800-325-3040.
The first hour of Issues Etc. today is Open Lines. We're going to be reviewing a little bit what the president had to say just hours ago at the memorial service held in Houston for the seven astronauts who perished in the Columbia crash over the weekend. And I want to talk a little bit about what the president had to say on Saturday as well. The president made two addresses, one on Saturday immediately to the entire nation, and then of course today, you probably heard it or saw it, it preempted most of what was being broadcast most places, the memorial service for the seven astronauts. If you'd like to join us during this first hour, your reaction to the president's, I would call it a eulogy. That's what I'm going to call it, a eulogy during this memorial service. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And as always with open lines, anything you want to talk about is fair game, or any other reaction as well. Your other reactions to the service as well, not only what the president had to say, but the service itself. It was brief. It was not incredibly complicated. Began with the singing of a Christian hymn, ended with the tolling of the bell once for every person lost in that tragedy. If you have any reaction to it, those phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. In the second hour, our good friend Uwe Simonetto joins us. He's religion editor for United Press International. He joined us from New York to talk about several issues. Uwe always comes loaded to talk about a number of things. Two related issues. First of all, the anti-war movement. He's concerned and expresses his concern in a UPI religion editor's article about whether or not the peace movement within the churches will turn sour as it did after Vietnam. We'll also talk with him about George W. Bush's opposition from his own church, the United Methodist Church, on the issue of the war. And we'll also talk about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, their differences and their different approaches to science and the scientific world. A little later in that second hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Ann Hendershot. She has written an interesting article on black Americans and abortions, knowing that black Americans are disproportionately represented in the number of unborn aborted. She has a little something to say about it. We'll find out exactly what it is in the second hour. The third hour of the program, Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of Law and Gospel, heard during the spring, summer, and fall, here on AM 850 KFUO, part four of our seven-part series on a theology of glory versus a theology of the cross. Today we're going to be talking about free will. Do fallen, sinful people have a free will? In what sense can we talk about a Christian's will being free, if at all? It's open lines during this first hour, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, now. The president gave a eulogy earlier today, and we will hear it in just a few seconds. He spent most of the time doing, I think, precisely what a president needs to do at a time like this of national calamity, national tragedy, and in this case, really international tragedy. He was speaking not only to our nation, but to the world, in particular to the citizens of India and Israel as well. Now, I think he did the president's job for the most part. Some questions. You might have questions as well. He spent most of his time talking about the servicemen themselves, about the astronauts themselves. About a minute or two on each one. He had a few concluding thoughts. This is what he had to say today at the end of his eulogy.
This cause of exploration and discovery is not an option we choose. It is a desire written in the human heart. We are that part of creation which seeks to understand all creation. We find the best among us, send them forth into unmapped darkness, and pray they will return. They go in peace for all mankind, and all mankind is in their debt. Yet some explorers do not return, and the law settles unfairly on a few. The families here today shared in the courage of those they loved, but now they must face life and grief without them. The sorrow is lonely, but you are not alone. In time, you will find comfort and the grace to see you through. And in God's own time, we can pray that the day of your reunion will come. And to the children who miss your mom or dad so much today, you need to know they love you, and that love will always be with you. They were proud of you, and you can be proud of them for the rest of your life. The final days of their own lives were spent looking down upon this earth. And now on every continent, in every land they could see, the names of these astronauts are known and remembered. They will always have an honored place in the memory of this country. And today, I offer the respect and gratitude of the people of the United States. May God bless you all.
That was President George W. Bush at the memorial service today for the astronauts who perished when Space Shuttle Columbia fell out of the sky on Saturday morning. And he made some sidelong reference to the hereafter. What did you think of the president's eulogy? What did you think of his reference to the hereafter? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, this is the second of two addresses that the president has made to the nation on this very issue and on this occasion. The first came on Saturday, and this one is a little bit different. I'd like your reaction to it as well. If you were listening on Saturday, or if you heard a rebroadcast of it at any time, you might have heard on Saturday the president actually quote scripture by chapter and verse. He quoted from Isaiah 40, verse 26. He said this, in quoting, I'll quote the passage and then I'll reiterate what the president had to say. He said, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and might, not one of them is missing." Are you like me, a little wary from time to time, when a president or any other elected official, in their capacity as that elected official, quotes Holy Scripture? Here's what the president had to say.
"We saw destruction and tragedy. Yet farther than we can see, there is comfort and hope. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. The same creator who names the stars also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today. The crew of the shuttle Columbia did not return safely to Earth. Yet we can pray that all are safely home."
What do you think of the president's reference to this Isaiah passage 40, verse 26? He quoted the passage verbatim and then drew the conclusion that, at the very least, we can pray that these people are safe, that the seven are safe. Now, there were some professed Christians on the crew. There's no doubt about that. Baptist Press carries some stories about several of them. There was one nominal Jew, the Israeli fighter pilot, and there was, at least I am assuming, a nominal or a practicing Hindu, that being the one astronaut who was born in India. But he says, "We can pray that they are all safely home." Do you think it's appropriate for politicians to quote scripture? Or do you think in this case, the Saturday address, I'm not talking about today's address, but Saturday's address where he quoted Isaiah 40 verse 26, do you think he was misapplying the passage? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Was he offering false hope to a nation, to the survivors of this tragedy of Space Shuttle Columbia by quoting that passage? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I guess it comes down to this question. Today, the president addresses by way of eulogy the nation and the families of the astronauts. Should a president, when addressing a nation and a family like this, confine his comments to the here and now, to the tragedy at hand, and leave the issue of the hereafter to the theologians and the pastors? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's someone we haven't heard from in a long time. Chet is calling from his car. Chet, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, sir. Blessings, Pastor Ty.
And to you as well.
Thank you. Well, I didn't hear the entirety of the president's speech, but the portion that you aired, to me, I thought it was a decent speech. And I think it was to as much as possible for the president, theologically sound. I mean, you talk about the hereafter. He said that he spoke in terms of if they all had made it home. Well, the question is, where would that home be?
You know, yeah.
Their lives do go on eternally as to whether or not some are in the presence of God and some in hell or some in the place of torment, that we don't know. So I don't think he was inaccurate. He didn't specifically state his point in a manner as if they were all in the presence of God.
But you do know, Chet, that his intent, of course, in both of these addresses was to comfort everybody involved.
Exactly. And I think the speech was comforting as much as it possibly could have been. He didn't give anyone any false hope. He just left it over to whatever their beliefs about eternity might be to determine the destiny of their loved ones. From a Christian perspective, we would consider that to be in the presence of God. And I don't think he came directly to the point to deny the possibility for any of those who were on the space shuttle that were not necessarily Christian. But as in regards to politicians quoting scripture, I say as long as they're going to quote it in the right context. I remember on one account in one of Clinton's speeches when he quoted scripture and he took it totally out of context. And I would have to scrutinize that passage from Isaiah again to give a thorough opinion of how the president used that scripture. But I think as in consideration of his political position, I think it was a fairly decent eulogy that he gave.
All right, Chet, thank you very much. There's one thought on the president's eulogy today and the address on Saturday. What do the rest of you think? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Marty's up next, calling from his car. Hi, Marty.
Hi. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, I think the previous caller, I think I agree with him. He said it very well. I think it was an appropriate speech. I think that he did use the scripture appropriately. I think if you're a Christian, especially in a situation where you have power and you're over a country, there's so many different religions. Of course, as Christians, we have to wrinkle a little bit and say, you know, well, actually, there is only one way into heaven. It is to. But when you're speaking to a large audience of people who are also Jewish and Hindu and so forth, do you make that assertion right there on a forum? I don't know. I just think he did well. I thought the scripture was appropriate. Of course, as a Christian, you know, I have to disagree with most Jews and Hindus and so forth. There's only one way into heaven. But, you know, I think that the president did a good job. And considering that theologically, yes, you can dive a lot deeper. But it's so nice to hear a president speak about scripture.
All right, Marty, thank you very much. And I imagine that's kind of the sentiment a lot of people have when they say, golly, he even quoted chapter and verse right out of, boy, it's so nice to hear a president quote it and not, as one of the previous callers said, misquoted out of context. But that's my question. It's one thing to ignore the issue of the hereafter and simply leave it unspoken. To say, to say something like each has gone on to his just reward, which would be a way of saying, you know, for those who died in Christ, they went to heaven. For those who died apart from Christ, they will suffer eternal torment and punishment. It's a just reward. Each went on to his just reward. That's a way of kind of saying it without having to say it. But did he give false hope in giving the impression, saying they're safely home? And I'm talking about Saturday's address, where he quoted Isaiah 40, verse 26, saying that they were safely home. Did he give false hope from the Scripture? Is it a misuse of this passage? If the whole Scripture clearly testifies that there is only one way of salvation, is it a misuse of a single passage to imply that everyone, regardless of their faith, is safely home? What do the rest of you think? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, which is why I ask the question, is it better that a politician or a president, when giving a public eulogy like this or an address at a time of tragedy, simply leave the issue of the hereafter unaddressed? Mark is calling from his car. Mark, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, hi, Pastor. I think that as a Christian, addressing the loved ones of people who... these people passed away and they're not Christian, I don't think you can talk about the hereafter and be honest and offer any comfort at all. I think that's one of the really tough things about being a Christian, is that I remember post 9/11 just thinking we are uniquely disqualified from really offering people comfort in that situation.
People who die apart from Christ.
Right.
Mark,
we don't have any good news or comfort for their loved ones.
Mark, thank you very much. All right, now there is a position that I imagine some others in the audience probably hold. Larry is calling from his car. Let's see what Larry has to say. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
Very well.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment on the president's address, which I thought was very apropos. If you notice, he said that we pray that they made it safely home.
That's right. He said, we can pray. We can pray, he said.
Right, that they made it safely home. And none of us down here can really say where no one goes, because only God knows the heart and knows whether one is saved or not. And the topic which you're going to talk about, whether an unsaved person has a free will, am I right to say they're still under condemnation and they're... father is the devil, who they can't do nothing but sin and fall short of the glory of God? Only when they become a Christian does God set them free to use their own volition to either serve him or not. Am I off base with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I like what I hear you saying so far. You might want to stay tuned for that third hour with Pastor Tom Baker and see, at least according to Pastor Baker, whether or not you're on base. Sounds good so far to me. We will be talking about that free will issue with Pastor Tom Baker in the third hour of Issues, Etc. today. Right now, it's open lines for your questions and your comments. Still a few minutes left before the bottom of the hour break to take your phone calls at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you're just tuning in, we're getting some reaction to the president's eulogy today at the memorial service for those who perished and for the families of those who perished in the crash of Space Shuttle Columbia on Saturday. Anything else you want to talk about, or if you heard the memorial service and you want to react to something apart from what the president had to say in that service, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And of course, I have mentioned President's Saturday address, in which he quoted directly from Scripture and said, we can pray that they, that would be the astronauts who perished, are safely home. Your reaction to that theological conclusion on the part of the president. Doris is calling from her car. Doris, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you. I think there are probably two issues. Is that one, as a president, whether he should be mixing church and state, and I think probably it was really not a mixture of church and state. It was his personal opinion and his personal feeling, and I guess we as citizens of the United States have a perfect right to speak our feelings and our beliefs freely. And that's my opinion. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Doris. Actually, I think Doris put it very well. if the president is simply saying, stating his personal thoughts based upon his own Christian convictions and faith, no one would deny him the right to do this. And I don't think anyone would necessarily accuse him at a time of tragedy like this, especially addressing families, what he believes his prayers would be for those who perished. Isn't that your prayer? Wouldn't it be your prayer that the nominal Jew astronaut who perished, although at least by all intents, by all indications, had no opportunity or did not believe in Jesus Christ? Who knows, maybe one of those Baptists up there in the space shuttle in that 16 days had opportunity to witness to him. I certainly hope they did. Or the Hindu astronaut. We would pray that they had heard of Christ, that their faith was in Jesus Christ. Although we have no clear word. And that does seem to be all the more the president was saying. Although, it still raises the question of whether or not the president should just leave the issue of the hereafter unaddressed at a time like this. What would you say if you were in the president's shoes earlier today at the eulogy, or on Saturday, the very day and hours after this terrible tragedy? What would you say if you were the president? How would you address the issue? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Stan is calling from his car. Stan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. In regards to your last caller, I would suggest that I keep hearing the separation of church and state, that they actually read the First Amendment to the Constitution, and if that don't clear it up for them, they should read the Federalist Papers to know what the founders of the country wanted with that. But I look at him, and this is, he said what he had to say as the president of the nation, and he didn't necessarily say Christian, Jew, or anything else. He just did a quote to give everybody a little sing-song hope in a quote time of despair, let's face it. But with the
Hold on a second, Stan. If he's going to have a little quote just to give people sing-song hope, and I think that was probably all the more he could accomplish, I agree with you there. Wouldn't you prefer as a Christian that he wouldn't quote God's word to get sing-song hope? You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a great big way. I don't think that had anything to do with the actual, you know, memorial or anything else. If he is a professing Christian, he's bringing in the prophets of Judah, or the Jewish prophets, into a Christian, I guess it was Christian people, Jewish people, and Hindu people, and that's kind of interjecting, you know, something that at least the Hindu person might take offense at.
Perhaps.
Yeah, but with the war, him getting his own thing from the Methodist Church, I just look at it at this way, and that is, I know the power of God is almighty and eternal, and if the Methodist Church falls apart, well, I think what recovers from it will be the followers of Jesus Christ, because God is all-powerful. His will is always done, and those that might leave over that, you know, that's their choice. The choice is to follow Jesus Christ and what he said. And our Congress, our Constitution, or nothing else, declares that we can do a preemptive strike of our own choosing against a foreign nation, no matter what threat we might consider. There's been no action that could be traced to them. Our action in Afghanistan was traceable back to Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
and did what we had to do. But as far as Iraq, I'd rather use the Army to do like the Constitution says, and that's to protect our borders and secure our freedom.
All right, you know? Stan, thank you so much. So, chiming in on a few issues there, not only the issue of something we'll be discussing with Uwe Simonetto here in about, about 20, 25 minutes, we'll start this conversation with Uwe Simonetto about Bush's stance vis-a-vis his own church body, the United Methodist Church. They are, by and large, condemning any preemptive war on Iraq. And, of course, President George W. Bush is leading the charge. What did you think about the eulogy today? What did you think about the memorial service, if you had opportunity to hear it? We'll talk about that. It's open lines. When we come back from this break, more of your phone calls.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are marketing principles compatible with Christian evangelism? Can Christianity be marketed like Coca-Cola, Ford, or Chevy? And how much have business practices influenced the Christian church? You'll find answers to these questions with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. Testing the Claims of Church Growth. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section, issuesetc.org. Testing the Claims of Church Growth is written by a former marketing executive and now pastor, Rod Zwanitzer. Testing the Claims of Church Growth, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on two Eastern European countries where teachers play a strategic role in sharing the gospel. Students in Hungary and the Czech Republic currently enjoy a freedom in exploring important subjects and concepts that were suppressed for decades. As high school and university students find their footing in the society, they want to trust in something stable. Through excellent teaching, Christian English teachers who come from the United States communicate their love and concern for their students. As teachers spend time with students outside of the classroom, a forum is created for sharing deeply about values and beliefs, including faith in Christ. Educational Services International helps train and send teams of English teachers overseas for summer or year-long opportunities. Prior experience isn't necessary, but prayer is. Call 1-800-895-7955, 1-800-895-7955, or visit the web at teachoverseas.org. That's teachoverseas.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Technology is one way we strive to spread the benefits of civilization. As careful as NASA is, the fact that the technology of the space shuttle is a creation of fallible humans introduces the possibility of failure. That said, why didn't the Almighty reach down with invisible hand and hold Columbia safe until it landed? Even if we knew the answer to why, would that really make any difference? If God laid all His reasons out for us, we would still have before us the same two responses we have today. One is that of Job's wife. "Curse God and die," she said, Job 1:9. The other response is that of Job, who first complained bitterly. "I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer," Job 30:20. God finally broke his silence and said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" Job 38:2. To that strong assertion that God is, Job submitted. Knowing the answer to the why question would not change our response. There is either submission or defiance to the Almighty. God is.
When the Civil War ended in 1865, more than 4 million slaves were set free. From 1936 to 1938, writers conducted interviews with more than 2,000 one-time slaves. Unchained Memories, Readings from the Slave Narratives, an HBO documentary brings the words of these former slaves to vivid life. The Missouri Historical Society is hosting a special free preview of Unchained Memories, Sunday, February 9th, at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. For more information, contact the Missouri Historical Society.
We saw destruction and tragedy. Yet farther than we can see, there's comfort and hope. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. The same Creator who names the stars also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today. The crew of the shuttle Columbia did not return safely to Earth, yet we can pray that all are safely home."
That was President George W. Bush Saturday responding to the space shuttle Columbia tragedy. What do you think about politicians quoting from Holy Scripture? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Even in times of national tragedy like this, and if you heard the president's eulogy, you also heard similar, a little bit of the same. In fact, he even said, we can pray that they will be reunited with their loved ones, something to that effect. Do you think the politicians ought to leave the issue of the hereafter unaddressed at times like this to refer to life after death? Did the president give false hope to the families of victims by simply saying, well, God created them, he knows their names, and then no one is disputing this. God knows everyone's names. But we can pray now that they're all safely home. We had a caller in the last part of Open Lines who said he did say we can pray that they are home. And he said that also again today in the eulogy, we can pray that they will be reunited. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Bill is calling from his car. Bill, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi there, first time caller.
Good, great.
I, too, think that he did a great job. One thing that I was thinking about is not only for the comfort of the family and friends and all, but for a witness to those that may be on the verge of making a decision for Christ. I think in season or out of season, we should be prepared to witness to anyone with our faith. Sometimes it's not necessarily convenient, and I understand where you're coming from as far as his capacity as president.
Well, Bill, I wouldn't have a problem with him actually witnessing. But there was no mention of Christ, no mention of the cross, no mention of Christ's atonement for sin there. In other words, to my way of thinking, there was no gospel witness made there. In fact, one might argue, and I don't know where I stand on this right yet, but one might argue that he said, well, you know, he basically left the door open for them all going home, whether they believed in Jesus or not.
Well, as a Christian, though, I didn't take it that way. He said, my mother passed away after a horrible bout with emphysema for about 5 years, and my wife and I were at her bedside, and we witnessed to her just about to her dying breath, and we pray, we hope that in her last time alone, that she called upon the Lord to save her. That, I think, pretty much parallels what our president was talking about,
right.
I believe.
And I know that's how you heard it, Bill, and thank you for the call. That's how Christians hear it. See, this is the real problem. Christians hear Christian content in something that, will the Hindu hear that? Will the Hindu hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified in a phrase like, we pray that they are safely home, or that God knows their name? If Jesus isn't mentioned? Now, you say it's not the president's job to get up there and witness at a time like this, to witness to his Christian faith. And maybe you're right. But is the only other alternative to say, well, kind of the generic God universalism, we kind of hope they're all safely home. Now, see, Bill said he witnessed to his dying mother, and I am glad he did. And I hope that the witness was more than just, well, mother, we hope that you will be safely home after you die. A Christian witness is especially one made in a context of other religions, I think, has to be a little more specific than that. Don't you? I don't think we can afford to speak generically or metaphorically about God when there are people out there. The Christians will hear the gospel because they already know the gospel. They'll fill in the blanks. But the Hindu might fill in the blanks with something else other than Jesus. Or the Jew might fill in the blanks with something. You can pretty much be sure that the Jew is not going to fill in the blanks with Jesus. Right? Ron is calling from Colby, Kansas, listening on our sister station, KNGN. Ron, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi, Todd. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I don't hear too many people taking on issues like this, and I think you ought to be commended for doing this. And I, from what I hear, I think I tend to agree with you. We've all been to funerals where someone of questionable character is laying up there in that box, and the preacher does the best he can to pray him up into heaven and say what a good guy he was. And I think that the president had every right to take on the place of a preacher and talk theology, but he jolly well ought to do it right if he's going to take that on. I mean, let not many of you be teachers, because otherwise you're going to have more condemnation. And what I heard sounded an awful lot like he was trying to say all the stars are up there and God knows their names and none of them are missing. And he knew the names of the people on the shuttle, and none of them will be missing. And that sure sounds a little like universalism to me. And I don't think he, I mean, I like the guy. I voted for him and probably will next time. But I don't know. Politicians get themselves in trouble when they try to throw feel-good theology into politics. I don't know what else he could have done other than just ignore the issue entirely. Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, I think I got an answer for that one. But, Ron, thank you so much for calling, and thanks for listening up there in Kansas or Nebraska, whichever the case may be. Could the president have simply commended these seven astronauts for their service to the nation, to their various nations, and to the world as scientists, as explorers? And he did this. He did this beautifully. Could he have simply commended them, but not sought to commend them into the hereafter? You see what I'm saying? Could he stood up there and said to the families, I am president of the United States. It is not my place at this time to speculate or to give any word at all about the hereafter. But I can tell you why I commend these people who gave their lives in service of their country. I will leave it to your various ministers, rabbis, whatever you may have, to comfort you in whatever way your faith dictates. Now, he would be, some might say, shirking his responsibility to bear witness. But is it bearing witness to say, well, we can pray they're all safely home? What I'm saying is a limp-wristed witness that does not witness to Jesus Christ in particular is worse than no witness at all. A universalist kind of, well, maybe they're in heaven. Probably, most likely, we hope. With a generic God that doesn't distinguish between Hindu, Jew, Christian, I think is more detrimental than simply saying nothing at all. Maybe you disagree. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Jean is calling from her car. Hi, Jean. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Pastor. I do know, well, I think what he could have done, and I think we're all called to witness wherever we are in whatever vocation we have, and as president, he also has that responsibility. What he could have said is, in times like this, as a Christian, I trust in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we have crises like this, I go to Scripture. And one of the Scriptures that helped me today was Isaiah, whatever. And as Christians, and we should all be crying out for mercy for all seven, that in those last minutes, a seed of the Word was planted sometime in their life, where perhaps in Sunday school or through a witness of someone else. The seed was sown, and in that last moment, maybe they had more than a flash to know that their end was coming, that they were able to turn to Christ and be saved. And I think as a Christian, I think it's very appropriate for him to say that's what he's doing as a Christian.
What do you think the press would have done with that?
I think they could handle it if he does it as a personal thing. In my calling as president, I am a Christian, and this is what I believe. And I, as a person, in my role as president, I am still a person, and this is what I would like to share with you. My comfort comes from the Word of God.
Is there a danger there, Gene, of that being read as, and I think the only way that the press would not give him hell from here until Hoboken is to say, well, what the president was saying is, here's my truth, you got your truth.
Yeah, right.
It's true for me, but it's not for you. Or it's true for you, but not for me. And while that would have gotten him a pass with the press,
yeah.
certainly gotten him a pass with the press because they love that kind of stuff. Christians
well,
are fine as long as Christians.
Well, the problem is, if you get a president in there who isn't a Christian who knows what he's talking about or claims to be a Christian and really is not, so really in his position, it's probably best not to say anything. Well, however, he's called too, and maybe personally, one-on-one, perhaps maybe not nationally, that he has a calling to witness too to the truth.
Ah, you have just touched upon something beautiful. And that is the two spheres of this man's vocation. Because he had opportunity to meet with these families, he had opportunity to talk personally with them. That's the time to witness. When he steps up into the podium and addresses the nation, maybe it's time for him simply to commend their loved ones for their service to the nation. If he's there to comfort them, rather than say, well, we kind of hope they're all home. Okay. This is interesting to me. Because if we had a Muslim president and a space shuttle came crashing out of the sky over Texas, you Christians who say, I want him quoting scripture. I want to hear those. I don't care if he quotes, misquotes it. It's better to quote it than misquote it than not quote it at all. What if the Muslim president got up and quoted from the Quran? And what if he said, based on the conclusions of his faith, a Muslim president said, you know, in effect, even those infidel Christians, maybe they gained favor with Allah too. How would you take that? I imagine that devout Muslims would probably get a little torqued off about that kind of thing. And I imagine Christians would say that he has misused the prerogatives of his office. You think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And I know that there are people in the audience, when I say Muslim president, who just clap their hands over their ears and hide underneath the sofa cushions because they couldn't imagine such a thing. Stranger things have happened. John is calling from Oakville. John, thank you for being so patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, I'm really glad that we have a Christian president and that he did quote scripture, even though it was Old Testament. And they also had the 23rd Psalm in there, which is a beautiful message of hope for all of us. But when we say, when he said, like, we will pray that they're safely home, well, I think they're either home or they're not, and our prayers aren't going to help them either way.
Well, that is a very good point, John. That is an excellent point, in fact. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Now, the 23rd Psalm was read alternatively, verse by verse, in Hebrew and then in English by a rabbi, a chaplain, a Jewish chaplain. I don't know what branch of the military service, Navy, Navy chaplain. He did a beautiful job, by the way. His Hebrew was impeccable. Well, as it should be, but think about it. Christians, this is exactly the issue that I'm talking about. Christians are out there hearing the 23rd Psalm, and when they hear the Lord is my shepherd, what's in their mind? Jesus standing there with the crook in his hand and all the little sheep are around his shoulders, and he's got the little lamb draped across his back. Right? They hear Jesus. What is the Jew hear? They're not hearing Jesus. You know what they're hearing? They are hearing the Old Testament God who led them through the wilderness. Now, we can argue about whether or not that's the same God, but I do know one thing. If you said the Lord, that is Jesus, is my shepherd, they'd say, no, he isn't. What are the Buddhists here? What are the Hindus here? I mean, the Hindu family is sitting there, and who knows, maybe the Old Testament is considered a compromise between Jesus and Hinduism. I don't know. But what are they hearing? They're hearing what they believe to be a false scripture quoted to give them comfort. It's very easy for us as Christian citizens to hear these things and to say, well, he was saying the gospel, wasn't he? Yes, you were hearing the gospel because you were filling in the blanks with the gospel you already know. But for those who reject Jesus or know nothing of him, unless it is Christ and him crucified, plainly put, for sinners, it hasn't yet achieved status of gospel yet. Tina's calling from Webster Groves. Tina, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm fine.
Todd, I'm pretty much in agreement with you that I think it was a very personal statement that George Bush made regarding eternity. And I would have much rather him said it to me personally than him said it before the nation. And I think that's really the gist of it, that it was for personal worship as opposed to corporate worship.
All right, Tina, thank you. I put it in terms of his the two spheres of his vocation. He is an individual Christian in the world, wherein it is his duty, his privilege, and in this nation, his right to voice his Christian witness as an individual Christian in this world. But in his capacity as president, if he is going to stand up and make a Christian witness, I mean a genuine, full-blown, bald-faced Christian witness to Christ and Him crucified, the only Savior of sinners, then he'd better be prepared to take the heat that is necessary in order to take that stand. I don't think he did that in this eulogy. I don't think he did that in his Saturday address. What he did do is kind of choose the middle path, which is neither good nor great nor terrible. It's kind of somewhere in between and doesn't do anyone any good, which is the generic God and generic universalism. You see, that's all the more the God of civil religion can give us. The God of civil religion is of necessity generic. The only name you can attach to him is G-O-D. If you try and be more specific than that, he no longer is the God of the civil religion, the God that all Americans can kind of stand up and salute. Christians hear the word God in, say, the Pledge of Allegiance or something like that, and they infuse that word with their Trinitarian meaning, with the incarnation of Christ meaning. But strictly speaking, it is the generic God of civil religion. And all the more the generic God of civil religion, the only comfort that that God can give anyone in a time of tragedy is, well, all dogs go to heaven. The universalist doesn't have a hell to which people might possibly go after death. The universalist has a God who wouldn't possibly conceive of sending anyone to hell, even if there were such a place. Or perhaps there is a hell, a very, very small section of the universe, someplace where only the really, really, really bad people go. But you've got to be, boy, you've just got to try your hardest to get there. And what I am trying to point out here is that we as Christians, listening to these public addresses and these various things, while we might commend the president for doing a good job as president, need to be on guard that we somehow settle for less than the clear, unambiguous gospel of Jesus Christ, that we allow a generic God to suffice. You know, when we begin to do this, then pretty soon in our preaching, it will be enough just to talk about God in general, or whoever you conceive of Him to be. A God in general, a God whomever you may conceive of Him to be, won't get you to heaven, period. Barbara's calling from her car. Barbara, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. People may misinterpret God, but I'm thinking whenever we have a public figure who is bold enough to quote Scripture, and especially the Bible, I believe that God's word will not return void, and that there is power behind that, even though we might not be totally clear on the gospel.
So are you saying that Scripture cannot be misquoted?
Oh, it can be misquoted, but if it's just quoted directly and then just misinterpreted by the hearers, I believe that God can still use that to accomplish His will and to seek out those whom He might want the Holy Spirit to work with.
Well,
you've
raised a question, Barbara, of what God can do as opposed to what God has promised to do. Has God promised to use His word misapplied or misinterpreted? Or because there are places all over the world where God's word is quoted, strictly speaking, words from Scripture are quoted and completely twisted into the doctrine of demons. Now, I don't know that Scripture, that God has promised to use that false teaching to save people. Now, if it's simply quoted with no interpretation, then you've got the Word of God kind of unchallenged, simply standing there. Otherwise, I don't think Paul's injunction to Timothy to rightly handle the Word of Truth, which implies that there's a way to wrongly handle it too, and to watch his doctrine and his life closely, thereby saving yourself and those who hear you, I don't think those injunctions make a whole lot of sense. if Scripture cannot do any harm when it is misused, misapplied, or misquoted. That is not to deny the inherent power of God's Word. Carl is calling from his car. Carl, welcome to Issues, Etc. Carl,
hello.
Yeah, you still there? Welcome to Issues, Etc.
I sure am. Well, a moment ago you stole a bit of my thunder when you brought up American civil religion, and that's what I wanted to say. There is a whole theology of American civil religion, and in that theology of American civil religion, while we as a nation hold to the fact that the government will establish no religion, we do have a unspoken religion of Americanism, and that unspoken religion of Americanism is that God blesses our country, and the president of the United States is the chief priest of this religion. He speaks, when he speaks in issues such as like President Bush did the other day, he speaks with a sort of a spiritual authority in this American spiritual civil religion. That's not Christianity. I'm not saying that at all. It's unchristian as far as that goes, but it is a religion that the United States is God's blessed country, and we have all of the things that the church has in American civil religion has that also. You know, the president is the chief priest. We have the Constitution of the United States, which is like our doctrine, source doctrine, equivalent to the Bible for Christianity. We have our icons of Lincoln's Memorial and Jefferson and Washington, and you know, some very interesting things go into that study.
I think you're absolutely right, Carl. I think, in fact, you have kind of put legs on an idea that I had only mentioned here in passing. There's no doubt about it. And the danger, I am saying again, and thank you so much for chiming in there, Carl, the danger I'm saying is that Christians would naively confuse that with genuine Christianity, and they do it all the time. When they say, one nation under God, well, that's my God I'm talking about. Not necessarily. If it said one nation under God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now you got an argument. But the simple three letters, G-O-D, don't count for anything anymore in America, because they can mean whatever anybody wants them to mean. But I think he's right. If we confuse civil religion, you know, I think that the president should leave the issue of the hereafter to the pastors of these people. And I think that he should have witnessed individually to them. I have no doubt that he did. But I think he should have left the hereafter unaddressed and commended them. To a great degree, that speech today did that. He only slipped up one time. But that's what you get for hiring a speechwriter that went to Wheaton College, who's willing to take a halfway between a Christian witness and saying nothing. Folks, there is no substitute for the full-blown Christian witness to Christ and Him crucified. A message to sinners that they are lost and condemned in their sin, and the only way out is the perfect obedience, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no substitute for it. Period. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we'll talk with Uwe C. Minetto.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.